Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. There was a time, not that long ago, when a friend could call you up and ask you if you wanted to get together for dinner at the Bel Air Cantina. And you would have known exactly where she was talking about, when you'd have to leave, and where you'd park. But now you'd have to ask which of three Bel Airs that she's talking about.
And that restaurant is hardly alone. Many of Milwaukee's best-known local restaurants have become local chains. Good for their bottom line, but what does it mean for people deciding where to eat dinner? Dining contributor Ann Christensen is in the studio with us to help wrestle with that question. Hi, Ann.
Thanks for having me.
So as I was getting ready for this interview, I started thinking off the top of my head about all the places that have opened second or third locations around the Milwaukee area. And I'm not even going to go through the whole list, but drive around Wauwatosa, say, and you might think you're on the east side. You have Camp Bar, Bel Air Cantina, Red Dot, Cafe Hollander. There's a Benji's that's opening. Then go out to the Mayfair Collection. You have Pizza Man. And the reverse is true. Rocket Baby Bakery has expanded from Tosa to other climes. AJ Bombers has a site at Miller Park now. On one level, this seems to be a success story, at least from a financial standpoint. These businesses are all doing well enough that they can open second and third places.
Yeah, I think part of it is they probably want to try to hit another demographic, too. They're doing so well in the spot that they're already in. They're busy all the time. They're making money. And they think, well, you know, why not expand the pot a little bit, which you can understand. Right.
You know? Would you imagine that there are people taking Bel Air as an example? There are people who are likely eating at the Tosa location who probably would not drive into the city to eat on Water Street or Downer?
Definitely. I would say definitely. I mean, Wauwatosa is a great example of that because now there are so many restaurants up and down North Avenue. State Street, too, but North Avenue is particularly busy now, especially with restaurants and bars.
Well, right. And if you drive around North Avenue, and or indeed in a lot of these places, if you look at the traffic and the parking situation, it looks like they are still able to attract diners in all these different places.
It seems that way. I mean, I don't know. I mean, ultimately, you know, we're probably talking about a lot of recent developments. What the examples that you laid out, I mean, second, maybe third locations, you know, either haven't been around very long or they're in development. I mean, you kind of wonder, are they going to prosper? Are they going to survive? Are they going to open yet another location? You know, I mean, Bartolotta Restaurant Group is actually a really good example of this because, you know, they opened North Point Custard, right? And then one opened at the airport. It's not operated by them, but it's a concept.
Right, they come
created
up with a brand,
by them.
Yes.
Exactly. Downtown Kitchen. Downtown is in the U.S. Bank Building is another really good example, which has Pizzeria Piccola. It has North Point Custard. You know, it has those other concepts that they've created, and they're the ones that they're going to be opening a bunch of restaurants in the Mayfair collection as well. So, but you know, obviously, of anyone, Bartolotta Restaurant Group has a lot of clout behind it.
They have a lot of clout, and they have a fairly diverse portfolio too.
Very diverse, yes. I think for a long time, starting those sort of casual concepts that they have, the thinking was to duplicate them. Over time, I've talked to various other restaurant owners that have some of the thinking they've had as well. It's like, well, I think this is a concept that I can bring. They are thinking this is a concept I can bring elsewhere, whether it's in another part of the city, whether it's in an outlying area, whether it's even outside of the state. But you and I, we have, we both have interesting probably opinions on whether this is a good idea. Personally, you know, I always like, I mean, there's something about having that one kind of independent mom and pop restaurant that is, you know, the one chef or the one kitchen, just that one place. And if it's really, really good, you think, well, they run a really tight ship there. They can focus so well on the consistency and the quality and all of that. Can that whole everything about it really be duplicated?
Well, right. And at the same time, are those restaurants, those one-off restaurants, at the risk of being snowed under by the giants in the industry? I mean, you know, take, say, Mexican cuisine, and we could have a discussion about whether Bel Air Cantina is really Mexican cuisine or a spin on Mexican cuisine, but there are a lot of one-off Mexican restaurants in a place like the South Side that are on very much the fringes of being able to make a go of it versus
absolutely.
Say, Bel Air.
And then, you know, if you're really talking about authentic Mexican food, too, and you want that experience and a very Milwaukee experience and want to support a business that's really, really hardworking and struggling that's another question too, you know, whether I worry about those restaurants that are just sort of the one-offs that have the more authentic type of food. Are they going to be snowed over by these, I guess, for lack of a better word, chains?
Well, and there's a big philosophical
question.
But locally
grown chains.
When we're talking about chains, you know, we're talking about locally grown chains versus the Applebee's of the world, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there is, you know, would you say there is a philosophical difference in what you're doing when you go to a Bel Air or a Hollander versus when you go to an Applebee's or, I don't know, does Houlihan still exist?
I don't know. I mean, I hope not. I mean, I hope no Houlihan's fans are listening. But I like to think there's a difference, partly because it's Milwaukee's hardworking dollars we're supporting. It's going back into our economy. And there's something different about a restaurant where the owner maybe wants to open a few locations in the area versus the ones that want to take over the world, right?
Right, right. Well, but at the same time, it sounds like we're maybe saying that we're still running the risk of, for lack of a better term, local homogeneity, where once the suburbs might have been all Applebee's and Fridays and Chi-Chi's, we might someday be looking at the local version of this.
Yeah, we could be. And, you know, it's interesting because back when we talked a lot about cities that were being overrun by chains, ones that were similar to Milwaukee in demographic, Milwaukee came up as being, oh, they're really, I mean, there are chains, but it hasn't taken over everywhere, right? So there is a kind of an irony if there becomes like this overrun, you know what I mean, situation of I suppose, local chains. But by the same token, though, you can't not think of, okay, Benji's, right, which already there are two locations of, right, Benji's, by the way. There long have been, one in Fox Point Bayside area and one in Shorewood, another one opening in Tosa. Hey, if I lived in Tosa, I'd be really excited about having a Benji's out there.
I will say my wife is looking forward to walking there.
So, you know, I mean, I just, you know, I'm hoping for the best, hoping that the quality is really good.
And that's an interesting question about whether, and, you know, without necessarily having to eat at all of them at all times, does it raise a question in your mind whether the quality can hold up from place to place?
Well, definitely. I think about that with Pizza Man. So they have a location on Downer Avenue on the east side. They just opened one recently in the Mayfair collection, which I've heard is packed at all times, but partly because there isn't a whole lot of competition.
And there's a ton of parking there.
And there's a ton of parking, right? But I don't know. I mean, the thing about it, though, is that it's overseen by the same chef as the Eastside location. Probably stretched a little bit thin, but he's really good at what he does. His wife is the GM. It's just about expanding and making this operation a lot bigger, but hopefully bringing over the same type. It gets consistent menu, quality food. I don't know what to say except that I hope it's at all times for people as good as the Eastside. But
it raises the important question as well. What is the plural of Pizza Man? Is it Pizza's Man?
That.
Is it Pizza Men? Is it Pizza Man's?
I think it's really funny. I like Pizza Men, but then I start thinking of the whole genderizing thing, and I think, well, why did it have to be Pizza Man to begin with? Because now it's sort of Pizza People, right?
Right.
I don't know. I'm troubled by this now, Mitch. I'm really troubled.
Well, so I feel like we're working through some philosophical issues here, and I don't know that either of us is coming down on one side or another, but let me ask you this. Are there examples of local restaurants that have opened up second, third, or even fourth locations that you really think, you know, hit it out of the park, did it right?
Absolutely. Cops. Cops Custard is the premier example for me. I could go to any one of them and know that their burger is going to taste the same way. I think. I've never had one where I thought, wow, who was making the burger today? Or my Sunday was different at this location than it was at the other one. I don't think you can go from one to another and really notice a lot of difference. And that's, to me, an example of an extremely well-run chain. I'm going to bring up another example. You talk about having this love for a restaurant that you grew up with. I grew up in Shorewood, and we had the Pig and Whistle. Pig and Whistle, which is no longer, only had one location, but Pig and Whistle. To this day, I mean, I think about the Pig, the back of the Pig. The back of the Pig, you could get burgers to go. The front of the Pig was the sit-down restaurant, whatever. I feel like if there were multiple Pigs, it would have been a different story. I really do. I can never answer this question, Mitch. I will never be able to answer this question, but that's my feeling.
And what is the sound of one hand clapping? Well, and so let me give you, not to put you on the spot here, but would you imagine we're, you know, at the on the cusp of some of these restaurants? I know I've heard this as a distinct possibility for Bartolotta Group, but are we at the point where some of these restaurants are likely to be starting to move out of state or certainly out of the Milwaukee area? Are we going to start to see Bel Air's in the Chicago area or Madison or wherever?
I think so. I mean, I think Hollander's too. I think Cafe Hollander's. I think you're going to at some point probably see maybe Chicago area, maybe Madison. There's actually it's already been announced
there
that there's
yeah.
one opening in Madison. Bartolotta Restaurant Group. I think that's always been the thinking. So yeah, that's when it starts to become a much bigger ballgame.
It is one that you know we'll be able to say we knew them when, I guess.
Exactly, right. The very first, the smallest, right? I was the first one in line for the burger at North Point Custard. I don't know, whatever that might be.
Ann, thanks.
Thank you.
Ann Christensen is senior editor and dining critic at Milwaukee Magazine, and she is our regular dining contributor as well.